As we just heard, forests can help fight climate change by storing planet-warming carbon. And that's the basic premise behind carbon credits, where companies can buy offsets for their pollution from organizations or landowners that maintain woodlands. Driving north to Niagara Falls last November, I saw a billboard for a program that sells carbon credits on behalf of smaller family forest owners, and I got curious about it. Here's my story on the program that started in Pennsylvania and is growing to include other states. It's mid-April in Northumberland County, north of Hershey. Most of the trees on Louise Hartman's 154 acres of forest haven't leafed out green yet. As she steps over last year's dry leaves with a walking stick, she shows me the trees a forester has chosen to remove.
He's gone through, you'll see. See that yellow mark on the tree over there?
Yeah, see it? Like paint?
Yeah. Yeah, he's gone through and marked. So you can see, and if you turn right around, you'll see, these are the trees to come out.
The forester was provided free of charge to Hartman's family by the Family Forest Carbon Program. She and her two sisters signed up for the pilot program about 3 years ago to help manage their woods. Amid the white oaks and red maples, the forester dabbed some birch tree trunks with yellow paint. By taking certain trees out of Hartman's woods, others will have space to grow.
So you're cutting out the junk and leaving the best trees.
That's Sarah Hull, National Director of Forestry for the Family Forest Carbon Program, which is run by the American Forest Foundation and the Nature Conservancy. She's walking in the woods with us today.
You're giving them more space to grow, more sunlight, more nutrients. And so that is can help speed up the growth, which then means that you're sequestering more carbon and eventually storing more carbon as that tree grows.
Under the program, landowners agree to a 20-year contract. They receive money up front for enrolling and additional funds each year. Some of that money comes from the sale of carbon credits to companies that voluntarily purchase them. One credit represents one metric ton of planet-warming CO2 sequestered. That's like the emissions from burning 1,000 pounds of coal. Landowners like Louise Hartman also get education and assistance on managing their land to maximize the carbon they store.
They develop a plan for your property. So I know each year what's got to be done, what's got to get checked up on. I know exactly how many trees I have. I know what type of trees I have. I have so many red oak, or I have so many black cherry.
Hartman says she could have used this kind of advice a couple of decades ago when the family sold off the best trees on one plot of land for timber and left the rest. About 350 landowners are enrolled in the program, 200 of those in Pennsylvania. To be eligible, landowners must have at least 30 acres of forest. And Hall says the forest has to be merchantable, meaning the trees have to be suitable to sell as timber.
This program is all about creating additional carbon. So if it's not harvestable, meaning that it does not have enough merchantable timber, it's not eligible because then the carbon that we're producing, and thus the carbon credit we're producing, would have existed had our program not existed.
She says the program can help prioritize slower-growing hardwood trees that could be turned into a wood product at some time in the future. That's the ultimate carbon sink. Even if the tree is timbered, the carbon is still stored in something like a piece of furniture. A little further into the forest, Paul shows off how the program does its carbon accounting, pointing to a flag fluttering among a cluster of trees.
The orange flag would be plot center.
The flag marks the center of one of several plots on the property where trees are measured and evaluated. The program compares how much carbon is being sequestered and stored on these to 10 pieces of forest that the U.S. Forest Service is already monitoring.
So we can actually see the difference in the carbon that is being sequestered and stored on our enrolled properties versus 10 similar unenrolled properties.
The carbon credits are earned on the basis of that difference. It's called a dynamic baseline. The program's methodology was approved by a widely used greenhouse gas crediting program last year. It's different from the more commonly used static baseline that estimates carbon storage based on historical and other data. Andrew Dempsey is Senior Manager of Sustainability at outdoor retailer REI. He says it signed on to purchase 20,000 credits a year from the Family Forest Carbon Program for 5 years as part of its carbon neutrality commitment. He calls the program's method for carbon accounting progressive and says it sets a good standard for the industry.
They're basically starting at zero on day one from a carbon perspective, and only accounting for carbon that's additive after day one that is a direct result of the improved forest management practices that are being implemented on the land.
It all sounds good, but does it work? Danny Cullenward is an energy economist, lawyer, and fellow at the Institute for Carbon Removal, Law, and Policy at American University. He's skeptical of carbon credit programs. He says the dynamic baseline that compares actual forest plots has some advantages over a static baseline that doesn't. But that doesn't mean it's foolproof. One sticking point is how good a proxy those federally monitored plots, the ones in the Federal Forest Database, are for the ones enrolled in the Family Forest Carbon Program. It's not necessarily apples to apples, he says.
The idea that you're going to choose 10 plots in this database, a database comprised of active commercially managed timberlands, and say that is equivalent to or likely to be similar to what a small forest landowner experiences in a place like Pennsylvania or Ohio or Wisconsin, I think that's extremely suspect.
Cullenward appreciates that the program is giving landowners an incentive to sustainably manage their forests, but he says it could overestimate the amount of carbon stored.
The problem is when they want to sell a credit that gives somebody else the right to pollute and to put CO2 into the atmosphere. When you do that, it lasts forever. 20% of the CO2 you put in the atmosphere is there 10,000 years later. It's a forever problem.
A climate science manager for the American Forest Foundation says they are confident that the control plots from the Federal Forest Database are a good comparison for what would have happened on their enrolled properties if they weren't part of the program. Back in Northumberland County, Sarah Hall, the forester for the program, acknowledges that there are skeptics of carbon markets in general, but says this program is one tool we can use to slow down climate change.
It's not the end-all be-all. It will not solve climate change, but it's a piece of the puzzle in helping to mitigate climate change.
Landowner Louise Hartman says she'd likely sign up to continue with the program for another 20 years when her contract is up, because they've done everything they promised her and her family. She's concerned about climate change and wants to keep her land whole to pass it on to the next generation.
Like they say, take your change at the end of a day and throw it in a jar. But at the end of a year, you'd be surprised at how much you have. Well, that's what it's like to me to do this. I'm contributing to helping the planet heal, to helping our species to be able to survive.
The Family Forest Carbon Program is open to landowners in 9 states with plans to expand later this year. For the Allegheny Front, I'm Carol Holzapfel.